Good morning, everyone. My name is Patricia Peacock. I would like to nominate Honorable Mofokeng to be the chair of the meeting for today.
Chair, I would like to actually say thank you, but we would like to nominate Honorable Kevin Mapazo because I'll be leaving the meeting for another engagement. Thank you. Thank you.
Any seconder?
Good morning, everyone. I second Kevin Mapazo.
Any further nominations, members? Mr. Mapazo, do you accept the nomination?
Yes, ma'am.
Now I will call Mr. Mapazo to come to the front and chair the meeting. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, honorable members. Thank you for nominating me to be the chairperson of the session for today. The item that we are going to deal with today, it's only one item from the DPCI. But before we start, do we have any apologies? Oh, Mr. Groenewald is not present. Any other apologies? No. Yes, we received an apology of the chair that she's not going to be present today. That is why we have elected another chairperson to chair this session. Honorable members, the civilian secretariat, can we therefore give you the opportunity to present your annual report. Where is the judge? I thought he's here. Okay, let's wait for a second before Mr. Sarah Blanche. Am I correct?
Chairperson, yeah, I also wanted to find out where the judge is.
I gave you the judge. No, he said. No. Baba, let's check him. Where is the judge?
No, I'm also aspiring to become a judge, but I'm not there yet.
Yes. Maybe we should find out how far is the judge and all that, because he knew that he must be here and the other colleagues are here. We cannot be waiting for him. We've got work in Parliament. I really take offense to that. People like him, you send them back.
Yes.
No, he can't waste our time.
I agree with you. On our members that we also woke up early in the morning to make sure that 9 o'clock we are here. And she was given, I hope she was given enough time to prepare, because I've got the presentation here. And he is supposed to be here. Now, if Honorable, the Portfolio Committee is waiting for somebody without sending any text, that is he coming or not. Let's hear from Babala. Where is he? If he's far, we'll take a decision. I'm told that they are getting lost here around here. They don't know the building. Have you directed them?
Yes.
Okay. But even though they were supposed to have come early to get the venue, where is the venue?
How am I? I hate this thing, but I do.
Okay. We have also received the apology from the minister and the deputy minister here. Welcome, Judge, and your team. But I must raise a concern that members have just raised here that the meeting was scheduled to start at 9 a.m. So we were waiting for you, and that is why you received the call now that where are you, and we're told that you are getting lost in the building. That's not how we run meetings here in Parliament. We're always on time to make sure that we finish the business of Parliament in time.
Chairperson, my apologies. We have it in writing that it is starting at 9:30 from the chairperson herself. I must apologize for that, but we have it in writing that it's 9:30. We could have come earlier so that if there is such an eventuality, we shouldn't embarrass the meeting, because we can't in my life as a judge, I'm never late, and I do apologize for this.
Honorable Mufuke.
Chairperson, maybe we should find out from the doctor and also actually from the secretary if there is such a thing, because it's unprofessional. I raised it because we woke up early and we had other meetings before this one, and we have other meetings that are coming. And for some of us, we don't need this, and we said it even when we started this term, that it cannot be business as usual. Most of us, especially the team that is here, is from professional fields. We know how we have to operate. If you're from a parliament like me in the legislature of Gauteng, you cannot want to see people preparing in front of us. They must check and check even whether their slides or boards or everything is ready. But if that is the case, you have to apologize. But if that is not, you have to tell us what happened here, because it cannot be right.
Honorable Tara Blanche.
Chairperson, I also want to raise my concern, the fact that neither the minister or the deputy minister is here. This is a rather important meeting, and you know, really, I would have wanted that they regard it with the seriousness that it deserves. And now then it's just, yeah, you know, merely apologizing. We don't know what the reasons are. There are two. They could have made the plan, Chairperson, as far as I'm concerned, with due respect. Thank you.
We will note that, Honorable Tara Blanche, and we'll also wait for a verification of the correct correspondence sent to the judge, whether it's from the committee or from your side, but we'll wait for that and clarify that before the end of the meeting. Are you ready? Or you are still setting up? I think because of what Honorable Mofokeng has said. But let's leave it to check whether I see here in front of me here that the committee consideration of DPCI judge annual report for 2018-19. Committee room 2, upper ground floor, 90 Plain Street building, 0900 to 1300 hours. So it's from the side of the administration, it says that. I'm not sure from you, a charge that you receive it in writing, whether you have it or you don't have it. Maybe she will check the, let's do one thing, check please before we take decision. But let's proceed with our meeting, because there are members who are serving in more than one committees. So if we delay, they'll have to go and serve, go to other committees before I take a decision on this matter. But they're still preparing now. I thought, let me address this, Judge, Honorable Members, we have seen the correspondence. I think it was an oversight from the administration. The email that was sent to Judge says 9:30. So, you're on time, Judge. We had 9 o'clock from this other side, but an oversight from the committee. So thank you very much, Judge. You can proceed.
On principle basis, then they can just apologize. It's very important that you can hear. Some of us were very angry, and by actually confirming to you, it shows that they are really seeing what actually happened. We don't just brush it. It's something, it's a mistake, and we thank you for that, for the honesty.
Members and the judge, I would like to apologize. This was an oversight from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's professionalism.
Thank you, Chair. In future, what we would also do is, as was intimated by the Honourable Member, we'll ensure that if the time is 9:30, we set up before 9:30. We're not usually here, but we learn and we must learn fast. May I then ask Chairperson that my colleague present the power presentation in very brief, and then thereafter I will make a few other points and then leave it to the Honourable Committee. Thank you, Chair. My colleague is Deputy Director Investigations, Mr. Edward Rassi Wela.
Thank you very much, Judge. Good morning. Let me first thank and appreciate the opportunity given to us to present our annual report. I would like formally introduce myself. My name is Edward Rasewera. I'm the Deputy Director Investigation at the Office of the DPCI Judge. My job basically is to conduct investigation. I'm also responsible for the administration, management of the office. The Honorable Chairperson, Honorable members of this committee, the Secretary of Police, colleagues from the Secretariat, good morning. This is the PowerPoint presentation, which is going to give the overview of our performance report. Starting on the second page of our presentation, it gives the summary of the table of contents, the introduction operational budget, the performance targets, the trends and recommendation. With regard to the performance targets, the Office of the DPCI Judge has got three measurables or three performance indicators, which I'm going to is going to show us how did the office performed, whether the targets were met in terms of the strategic plan or the annual performance targets of the office. The purpose of this presentation is to brief the Portfolio Committee on Police on the 7th annual report of the Office of the DPCI Judge. The report covers the period the 1st April 2018 to the 31st March 2019. Our primary function is to provide oversight over the investigation conducted by the Directorate for Priority Crime Investigation, commonly known as the HOCS. We essentially investigate complaints by members of the public of a serious and unlawful infringement of their rights caused by members of the HOCS or complaints by members of the HOCS of any improper influence or interference, whether political or any other nature, exerted upon them regarding the conducting of an investigation. Basically, this paragraph, it talks about the mandate of the Office of the DPCI Judge in terms of Section 17L4 of SAPS Act. Our additional objective is to ensure that the investigation conducted by the HOCS are of human rights orientated, conducted within the confines of the law, and safeguard the independence and integrity of their investigation against interference or improper influence, whether of political or any other nature. Notwithstanding our lack of capacity and limited resources, the Office of the DPCI Judge strives for efficiency, professionalism, fairness in adjudicating complaints, and does so without fear, favor, or prejudice, in order to strengthen our constitutional democracy. Hence our motto, zero tolerance for the culture of impunity. Moving to the next slide, it speaks of the operational budget of the Office of the DPCI Judge during the period under review. During the period under review, the office was allocated a total budget of 5,146,000. 3,596,000 was allocated for compensation of employees. 1,448,000 was allocated for goods and services. The total expenditure was 3,855,754, with the balance of 1,610,246. The total operational expenditure for the office, you can find the details at our annual report from page 18 to 21. Yeah, from page 18 to 21 of our annual report. It gives the details how did we spend the budget. The next slide is talking about the performance indicators, the measurables that which we measure the office in terms of how did the office perform, whether the targets of the performance indicators were met or achieved. The first performance indicator is the case management system. This performance indicator, it talks about the registration process of a complaint. We have got timelines when we receive a complaint, how long must a complaint be registered in our case, in our database, how long must a complaint be allocated to an investigator for further investigation. During the period under review, the office received a total of 88 complaints. From the 88 complaints received, 32 complaints were found to fall within the scope of our mandate, whereas 56 complaints were found to fall outside the scope of our mandate. I want to indicate to this committee that the process, when we receive a complaint, we've got internal processes that which a complaint must be subjected to ascertain or establish whether the complaint can be investigated by the office of the DPCI judge or it falls outside the jurisdiction of the office. If the complaint falls outside the jurisdiction of the office conducts preliminary investigation to determine where the complaint can be referred to. Of the 32 complaints falling within the scope of our mandate, 28 were complaints from the public in terms of Section 17L4A of the SAPS Act. And 4 complaints were received from members of the HOFS in terms of Section 17L Subsection 4 of SAPS Act. All complaints were registered within 72 hours of receipt and allocated to investigators in compliance with the annual performance plan. The target in terms of this performance indicator is that when a complaint is reported to the office, it must be registered within 72 hours, that is 3 days, and it must be immediately allocated to an investigator for investigation. So both complaints, 88 complaints, were registered within 72 hours and were allocated to investigators for further investigation. The target in terms of this performance indicator is that out of 88 complaints received, the target is 80%. Because all the complaints were registered within the target of 72 hours, the output was 100%. Our next slide is talk about the breakdown of complaints received per province in the order of the majority of the province. If you can check on our page 7. Gauteng is at the top in terms of the number of complaints, followed by KwaZulu-Natal, Mpumalanga, Western Cape, Eastern Cape, Free State, Limpopo, Northern Cape, and Northwest. The next slide on page 8, it talks about the categories of complaints received from the members of the public and the members of the Hawks. These are the complaints that which are falling within the mandate of the Office of the DPCI Judge. Of the 32 complaints, 28 of them were from the members of the public who alleged that or alleged unlawful infringement of their rights arising from the investigation by the Hawks. And 4 were received from members of the Hawks alleging improper influence and interference with the investigation done by the Hawks. Our next slide is give the details of the nature of the complaint. What is the type of complaint that which we receive that falls within the scope of our mandate? It is very self-explanatory what type of the complaint that which we receive. The next slide is talking about the complaint, the nature of complaints that which are falling outside the scope of our mandate. The majority of these complaints are service delivery complaints, mostly from against the police. I'll move to page 11, which is the second performance indicator, the public awareness campaigns. With regard to the awareness campaign, we are required in terms of Section 17L, Subsection 15 of SAPS Act to market the office of the DPCI judge to the members of the public, to the stakeholders. During the period under review, we have conducted 2 awareness campaigns. The first awareness campaign was conducted in Durban, in KZN, and the other awareness campaign was conducted in Rustenburg in the Northwest. The target in terms of conducting the awareness campaign is that during the financial year, we targeted to conduct 2 awareness campaigns. That is because of the capacity challenges. And during the sessions, when we conduct the awareness campaigns, we invite all our key stakeholders such as SAPS, the Hawks, IPED, CIRA, Firearms Appeal Board, faith-based organizations, and non-governmental organizations. We invite these stakeholders because they are our partners, and we expect them to convey the message, what is the function of the Office of the DPCI Judge. So on this performance indicator, public awareness campaign, the office met the target of 2 public awareness campaign. I will move to the next performance indicator, which is investigation of complaints. This is our core function, the reason why the office was established. As far as investigation is concerned, as I've indicated that we receive a total of 88 complaints, 32 complaints were adjudicated and were found to be falling within the scope of our mandate, and a total of 56 complaints were falling outside the scope of our jurisdiction. Of the 32 complaints that fall within the scope of our mandate, the investigators completed 24 investigations, which is equivalent to an output of 75%. However, a number of them still needs to be signed off by the DPCI judge. The complaints falling outside the scope of our mandate were 56 and were all finalized. The output on this was 100%. As far as the investigation of complaints of the previous financial year, we had 8 complaints that which were carried over from the previous financial year. All 8 complaints were finalized. The next slide, it depicts the complaints finalized. I won't speak much about this one. I'll move to page 14, which talks about the trends. Analysis to observe trends and patterns arising from the investigated complaints is conducted in order to improve the efficiency and professionalism within the operation of the HOGS and the prompt adjudication of such complaints by the Office of the DPCI Judge. During the investigation of complaints, it was observed that the majority of complaints pertaining to a demand that the HOGS ought to investigate cases more speedily and provide regular feedback of the status of their investigation. Secondly, there are instances where dockets in which politicians are suspected of involvement in criminal conduct have been removed from the investigators under the guise that they will be investigated by a tax team in the national office, but the investigation will then stagnate. Some members of the HOGS complained of victimization by their superiors and were skeptical of any safeguards that the Office of the DPCI Judge may provide them. At present, the Office of the DPCI Judge lacks the know-how, the resources, the capacity to be of practical assistance to protect the whistleblowers. As envisaged in Section 17L, subsection 5, and Section 17L, subsection 8C of the SAPS Act, the DPCI Judge may rope in the assistance of the office bearers or directorate or institution listed in this subsection. Recommendation. These are the recommendations that which we have indicated on our annual report. On our annual report, the recommendations are from page 53 to 54. The first recommendation is that the Portfolio Committee of Police intervene to address the capacity challenges of the Office of the DPCI Judge as a matter of urgency and direct the Minister to prioritize the creation of the post of a Chief Executive Officer, the CEO, and the Chief Financial Officer, and the Director Investigation. The CEO will mainly run and administer and manage the office, whereas the CFO will manage the finances of the office. The Director Investigation will coordinate the work of the investigators of the DPCI Judge and herself or himself investigate high-profile cases and complex cases. The second recommendation, measures have to be put in place to ensure that the operational budget of the Office of the DPCI Judge is properly ring-fenced. Section 17L, subsection 13 of SAPS Act requires that an operational annual budget shall be prepared by the Secretary in consultation with the DPCI Judge, provide under the budget of the Secretariat a budget for the specific and exclusive use of the official duties of the DPCI Judge, and may not be used for any other purpose. The third recommendation, the current allocation of the operational budget of the office is based on the unacceptable historical expenses rather than what the office requires to enable the office, to enable the DPCI judge to fulfill his functions and mandate, and going forward, implement the vision, mission, and objectives of the office of the DPCI judge. This is outdated approach. This outdated approach must change. The fourth recommendation, the portfolio committee is requested to inquire from the subs minister why the establishment of the regional office of the DPCI judge in KZN during the 2020-21 financial year to cover the coastal and the nearby provinces should not be expedited in order to take the service to the people in terms of Patupoli principles. The portfolio committee is urged to direct the drafting committee to accelerate the process of amending Section 17L of SAPS Act to remedy the certain defects or inadequacies in the legislation concerning the DPCI judge mandate and ensure its independence operationally, financially, and structurally, and to inquire from both the CSPS secretary and the minister how far the process has gone and when is it anticipated to be completed. The next recommendation is to inquire from the minister and the sub-secretary why the extension and the expansion of the lease agreement of and for the office of the DPCI judge in Pretoria is not being processed diligently or at all to forestall the potential eviction of the DPCI judge and other functionaries from the leased premises. Thank you very much. That is the end of my presentation.
You want to say something, Judge? Okay.
Yes. I don't know if Chairperson, you will guide us at this point whether I could make some on the report itself, some fundamental contributions, or whether you would want to engage with the PowerPoint presentation.
You can, Judge.
Yeah. Thank you. Chairperson, the report is bulky. I'll just speak to it and, on a synoptic basis. This office was really conceptualized in 2008, and it was supposed to operate from 2009. It didn't, for reasons not known, and the first DPCI judge was only appointed many years later, and he was given 1 year, and during, that is now Judge Tumba Pile of KwaZulu-Natal, during that 1 year, the Act says the minister shall ensure that the DPCI judge is provided with sufficient personnel and resources to perform his or her functions. But during that year, the judge was appointed 2013. Yes. The judge was appointed in 2013. He was not given a secretary, not a CEO, not a vehicle, not official accommodation, nothing. What then happened is that the judge president of the KZN from the office of the OCJ provided him or left him with that secretary and gave him offices. After that year, when the minister wanted to extend his stint, he declined. He said, I was not given any support. I've written to the minister, I've written to this honorable portfolio committee, and I've made a representation, but nothing has changed, so he refused. Then between that time and the next appointment, was the late judge Esa Musa of the Western Cape, who unfortunately died on the 26th of February 2017. So between the time that Judge Pillay declined appointment and the appointment of Judge Musa, 27 years elapsed. Now, Chairperson, the question is, if the office of the DPCI judge was meant to perform the functions that my colleague has briefly alluded to, why would it take 27 months to appoint the next incumbent? But then, what happened is that Judge Musa also had his first appointment only in March. In 1st September 2013, after he had been a judge there for a long time. So, Chairperson, Judge Esa Musa, and maybe I must just say this, in the meantime, there were complaints coming in. The judge would receive the complaints, and the first investigator was appointed in 2014, and this was Mr. Edward Rasuye. So the judge continued again without an investigator. And I must just say that the first person was the PA, who is Ms. Bongiwe Maselane, who is seated here. For some time, it was only the two of them. So then, from the time that Judge Musa died in February, I was only appointed on the 6th of October 2017, that time lapse. Now, Chairperson, I'm saying to you two things from the time that I started. I was appointed by Minister Mbalula. He was not there for a long time. Maybe I must mention in his favor that after his appointment, he was then, I think, deployed basically to assist, as was explained to me, with what was happening in Nazareth. So my letter to him, and it is in the report, as to what we were asking for, not much, just the CEO, just a PA, that went unanswered. And fast forward, I must just say, up to this date, the last appointment was in 2015 when an assistant investigator was appointed. So the office consists only of myself, the two investigators, the office administrator. This is now in Pretoria, a cleaner and a security officer, and here the PA stroke office administrator and the cleaner. So we lack capacity. Now, where does the problem lie? I think we set it out very clearly in the report, Chairperson and honorable members. Minister Cele was appointed in by the president.
Sorry, Chair, on the point of order. If you respect, Judge. Chair, I think I thought it was going to be short because everything that the judge is saying maybe can be coming as answers to whatever we're going to be answering. But also, having read the legacy report, I'm becoming very worried, I must be honest. So if you can maybe just for now let the judge to wait, we pose questions and then get a way forward and all these other things that are raised, because they are really coming into what we want to hear from them. I don't know if members, honorable members, are seeing it the way I am seeing it.
Yes, it was like now we're receiving another presentation different from the one that has been presented. I think you are in order. So let's or we'll give the Secretary of Police maybe to come after, just to say something. Let me note hands then. Note hands. Yeah, Tara Blanche noted. And then okay, in that order, Honorable Mufokeng.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks for the presentation. Chair, I would make a few observations before I ask a question. I want us to remind ourselves about the mission of this office, being to execute an oversight role over the investigations conducted by the Hawks, and then to promote and protect the basic human rights, safeguard and secure members of the Hawks, and create an environment in which members actually of the Hawks can conduct. When I was actually reading the report, the report, and also looking at the slide now, I found this report being more about complaints with the Secretariat, the Secretary of the Police. And I have a problem, and I want to make a request that, firstly, I'm not comfortable. And I'm saying this because I read the legacy report. When you come to Parliament, all members, you start with a legacy report to see what other members have done. And I wish that we have just looked at it, and I wish that we can request that we get that report of their last report. because I referred to some of the issues there. There are still the report, the issues that have been raised in the previous, in the fifth parliament. The other thing that worries me here, it's about the actually the logo. I thought the logo of DPCI was supposed to be going together with the logo of government because they were appointed by this government. But you don't even get the coat of arms into this logo. Maybe to just get an explanation on to why you don't have that into this end so that I can at least understand. Going further into that, Chairperson, I would request that the judge should indicate that when they were doing this issue of the personnel, the organogram of the office, didn't they know that they were going to look for a CEO? How many staff members, your budget, and all that? And the other thing is that I know that you are supposed to be doing your report together with the secretary office, South African, the civilian oversight office. But I realize that these two offices, it's like two offices for me, they don't work together. And the minute we start saying the recommendations are really disturbing, when you start having a recommendation that I know that the judge reports to the minister, it says the portfolio committee is requested to inquire from subs minister why the establishment of the regional, why should we do that? They were supposed to have had meetings before and understand each other from that. But now it goes to back what Honorable Dr. Blanche was saying, that I wish a minister or deputy minister was here. And I would like to request Chairperson that if that is the case, with all the things that are in this complaint, I'm not even apologetic. It's a complaint document. It's a complaint document. I can say it in front of the minister and deputy minister and even the secretary general is here of the civilian secretary, that I don't think I'm ready to listen to any answer until the minister and deputy ministers are here so that we can answer all of them. For now, I don't think we are going to be doing justice into this complaint document.
Honourable Redfield.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, just at the outset, the document, as I understand, was sent by the Minister to the Speaker on the 29th of September, if that's correct. We sat in October to consider the annual reports of IPED, the Hawks, etc. There are two outstanding reports. This is one of them. The other is that of the DNA Board. And so I'd like, perhaps it's an administrative issue, that we could just get clarity on why it has taken so long from the 29th of September for this committee to receive the report for us to now interrogate after the BRRR, the report has been sent to Parliament. We are now dealing ex post facto with information that was required by this committee in order to deliberate in the National Assembly. And I think that's an important clarity that the committee deserves. But Chair, I also want to express my concern at the lack of uniformity in the manner in which the report has been compiled. The report has got more addendums than tangible information for the committee to provide oversight over, and I will illustrate just one point in a moment. But it does read like a complaint, and I think that we must look at that. I think we must understand that there appeared to be a legacy of frustration between the DPCI judge, the secretary, the ministers, the timelines, and I think that we mustn't invalidate those concerns. I think we must take those concerns seriously, but I regret that the manner in which both the PowerPoint was presented today, we read it. We received the report. It was then read back to us today. It doesn't, I regret to say, inspire confidence in the DPCI, the Office of the DPCI Judge. The report, the presentation, and the general manner in which the report was compiled. I, having said that, I'm also concerned that there seems to be, and I understand that it's come a very long time and this is largely a new committee, but that we need to appoint a CEO for a staff complement of less than, 10 people. A CEO comes with a particular pay package. And, I don't understand why you would be asking for that but not more investigators. For what you can get for a CEO, how many more investigators could you employ? Because surely that must be where the impetus is placed or the focus is placed. I'm concerned, Judge, at the lack of public awareness. Just because the target is 2 doesn't mean that you can need to stick to 2. Maybe that's limited to the budget availability that you have. But the low number of complaints that you've received, I don't believe that's because there aren't valid complaints out there. I think it's probably because people don't know that you exist enough, sufficiently, in terms of public awareness. So I'd be interested to know how we can improve on public awareness to make sure that the public is aware. I'm sure the members of the Hawks are aware, so that we can increase the number of, that people know where to complain if there are complaints to be registered. Because I think you said on both complaints within your mandate and complaints outside your mandate, if we combine those, your achievement was 90% complete, that you completed 90% of those investigations. Can you just explain to the committee, and perhaps it's because this is new to me, but what is your purview with respect to complaints outside of your mandate? Are you required to investigate those, or are you required to refer them on? And if you were able to achieve such a remarkable rate of completion, and you've indicated that the judge's signature is awaited on some of those investigations, why then is it necessary to augment the staff complement and to create bureaucratic positions within the office of the DPCI judge, rather than focusing on investigators and public awareness to ensure that the public knows where they can report misconduct or any complaints they may have over the Hawks? So it's really just about, and I know it's come a long way, and your frustration is very, very evident in the report, and I do take that seriously. One of the most remarkable issues is that we don't understand what the actual outcome of any of these investigations are. So if IPED comes and they investigate in some detail, you know, conviction rate and this is what happened, and we, you know, this is how many cases were referred to the NPA, what has actually happened to these investigations? Where have they gone? What have been some of the successes as an outcome of these investigations? And it's quite remarkable, the allegation that dockets disappearing in cases in which politicians are suspected has been removed. I mean, that's really an important issue that needs some unpacking. So if you could please unpack what you have done and which cases those allegations refer to and what was the outcome of those investigations. Has anybody been held accountable? Has anybody been disciplined? For now, Chairperson, I think that's it from my side. Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you. I want to start where I left it earlier on. You know, really, it is confirmed now that we need, you know, the Minister or the Deputy here. And then secondly, Chairperson, I went through this whole report very attentively last night, Judge. I lost a lot of sleep reading this, but I'm glad that I did. Chairperson, there was a lot of, you know, at the previous committee meetings, there were certain observations, there were certain, you know, things that needed to be attended to by the Minister's office and even from the Secretariat's office. Now I would like to know what happened about it. Serious, you know, commitments were made and people had to come back to the previous committee, and my question is, what happened to that? Because apparently we are starting afresh now again. That is the what I'm gathering here. Chairperson, then, you know, the judge also, or the during the presentation, the issue of the budget was raised. They wanted it to be ring-fenced. I don't have a specific problem with that, but also between the lines, you know, I learned that they are of the view that they don't have a big enough budget. But then it must be noted that they haven't been able to spend their budget. So why would they be needing an additional budget, and yet there was a saving, that is indicated, 1.6 million. Now, if you take that as a percentage of their total budget, it's quite a substantial amount. And once again, my question is, why would they be needing an additional budget if they haven't been able to spend the previous budget? Chairperson, then, you know, a lot was said about, you know, the cases that was reported to them, 88 in total, I think. And, you know, they had, you know, the referrals was 100%. Now, you know, my understanding, and please, you know, excuse my, you know, I don't know exactly what they do when they receive this complaint, but I can just imagine that that is mainly, possibly, you know, a desktop exercise to determine, oh, this one is a valid one and this one, you know. And then again, it must also be remembered that the judge can also refer to the police and to IPET and to the secretariat and wherever. They can refer. So the stuff, you know, that is not applicable to them is merely a referral exercise. So, you know, obviously that wouldn't take that much effort. Chairperson, then, you know, I also read through the report, and apparently it's indicated that a new office is needed in KZN. Now, if you go now to slide 7, you will see that the total number of complaints that they received are only 11, of which only 3 are within their mandate. And my honest question is, does it really warrant a real, you know, an office to be set up in KZN for 3 cases, or 11 for that matter? I don't know. That is something that I need to be clarified about. Chairperson, then, it was raised already by my colleagues also about the marketing. And, you know, the two outreach that they had, you know, if you see, you know, the people that they involved, this is people that they are working with. So they are aware that you exist. The question is, what are you doing to market you outsiders? And then the obvious question is, do you have a website, or how do you go about it? Is this your only way that you market yourself? Chairperson, I'm just about there. The majority of the cases, apparently, is a complaint that the Hof does not investigate the cases with the necessary urgency or speed or whatever. And that is really a very important, you know, perception amongst the public out there. You know, we're having the Sonder Commission, and we hear all this serious allegations, and I mean, nothing is happening. Nobody is charged, nobody gets before the court, blah, blah, blah. Chairperson, then, what I also gathered is, you know, that apparently there is a drive, you know, to get more independence. But, you know, how I understand the current legislation, you know, chapter 6, section 17L13. You know, the legislation is not very clear. It's only saying that, you know, the budget needs to be compiled by the secretariat, obviously with the inputs of the judge. So in my assumption is, and please, the judge is better positioned to, you know, to interpret law. But, you know, the current legislation never had, you know, the idea of creating a separate office. And I think, you know, the reason is quite clear. You know, such a few people, you cannot, you know, have a total, you know, administrative staff for that. And, you know, my assumption is once again that the secretariat must render those services to the judge office. And I'm not going to go into a debate about this. I think there is something that needs to be clarified between the judge's office, the secretariat, and the minister. And they must come back to us and tell us what position they arrived at. We cannot sit here and sort this out. Really, it's not our job to do that. Chairperson, I spoke already about the office in KZN. I also raised my concerns about the minister not being here. Then the lease agreement. This is also something that can be sorted out somewhere else. The obvious question is, do they have suitable accommodation? And if they have, maybe it's not, you know, 100% to their liking, but I mean, we have a serious problem in terms of, you know, leases, the amounts that we're paying annually to service leases. Chairperson, thank you. That is my input for now.
Honourable Shembeni.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm mostly covered, but I just wanted to find out also about, it seems as if here we've got an office in Pretoria and an office in Cape Town that has got, if I check, only the PA and the judge by himself only. So I don't understand that one. As my honourable member has mentioned about the leasing of the offices and then the budget also, that about 1.6 million, but of which we did not find out if the 1.6 million have been taken back to the treasury or what. We don't know what is the status of that amount. Thank you.
Honorable Mafanya.
Thank you, Chair, and Judge, and honorable members. Actually, most of the things have been covered by Honorable Whitfield and Terrell Blanche. And the issue at hand is that there has been some quite damaging allegations that have been made here by the judge, and a cry of help. The sense that I have is that there is a cry of help that they cannot perform their duties due to interference by our political principles. And the other issue is that, taking into what they have said, is that they have also met a previous committee, police committee, and the issues were outlined in those committees, in the committee, and seemingly they are back to square one where they are still making the same presentation to us. Now, it takes us back to say, are we going to perform in the manner that the previous committee did? Are we just going to be, you know, being here but not delivering to the mandate? Now, I really sympathize with the judge in terms of the frustration that he's faced with. But my proposal to the committee is that we need to probe into the allegations that I made here and in terms of what the report says. And it's quite unfortunate that the minister and the deputy minister are not here. And I really feel that we are not going to do justice to this report. And more so, having taken all the things that have been set into consideration, is that we understand the scourge of interference. Once there is interference in one's job, there's no way you can deliver. inasmuch as we'd like to believe that there are chances that the person can do, because if there is interference, it means that your processes are going to be derailed from time to time, and there's no way that you can bring a positive outcome in terms of this report that we see here. So I would propose that there's a need for us to have the minister and the deputy minister, including the school and the DPCI, for this presentation, so that, because there are no answers, we cannot have answers in terms of what we have just been given here. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Peacock.
Thank you, Chair. Let me first start by appreciating the presentation and to just state my observation. What I've realized while going through the presentation is that most of these complaints raised here are issues that should have been dealt internally, of which I would like to ask, been given a reason to why is the presentation or this sort of complaint brought to us. Does it mean that you have exhausted, you know, ways and means? That's why you brought it to us. Then the other issue is that when you look at the presentation again, it says that there are instances, especially on page 14, slide number 4, paragraph 4, it states of the dockets that involve some of the politicians, and I won't dwell too much into the paragraph itself. But my point to this is that what we would like to know is, as this committee, we need to play an oversight role. By doing so, is to find out how many of these dockets were removed and what were the progress relating to that. Then lastly also, you see on the presentation also that there's a sense of finding to be independent as a unit, but then also that it needs to be, you should exhaust your issues internally before it is brought here. And if the reason you brought it here, it was never finalized, then what do you expect us as a committee to do with regard to what you've requested, and how far have you exhausted those means? Thank you.
Okay. Let me allow you, Judge, to respond. We will give the Secretary of the Police to also say something after you have responded.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the last thing that the Office of the DPCI Judge would do is to claim self-righteousness. We have noted the questions asked, and we will improve on some of them. But specifically, if I could start with the question of the coat of arms. My predecessors did use the coat of arms. We also use the coat of arms, but with the fifth financial year, when we had to go printing, we were told, no, you are not a department. You can't use the coat of arms. You have to have your own. And then we had stagnated, and we had to rope in some people to help us design this coat of arms, because they told us, you're not going to print. After that, because we have to come and make a presentation, myself, my colleagues and some members of the Office of the Civilian Secretariat helped us, and we then developed this code of arms. That's why the fifth annual report only has this code of arms, and this is how we have come to use it. I personally had some reservations about that, but because we had to come to Parliament to report, and we dealt with it in this way, Chairperson, I don't know going forward if it is said that we must then use both the coat of arms with our logo. We will do that. We don't think it's really for us a problem. We will discuss this, and Chairperson, see what the way forward is. But as of now, that's my answer to you. Then the question Chairperson was raised about meetings and why was this not internally solved. Chairperson, I must say that this question truly amazes me, because we have set out how many times we wanted to see the minister. The report in KZN of the 7th of June had indicated that we're going to see the minister. When we were here on the 5th of September, even the committee had said that the minister has not been able to see us. Minister Mbalula, Minister Tsele, on several occasions. What we will do is to print the number of postponements. The dates were determined by the minister himself, but I'm saying you here on record, the minister postponed all the meetings, at least 10 of them. What should we do? That's why I say this question really amazes us. We can print. We have SMSs. We have emails. So what else must we do? We know, as the law stands, if someone has the authority to call the meeting and postpones it, then he has postponed it. It does not suit the minister. You will see that on an occasion I was so frustrated, I said to the minister, Minister, Western Cape, KZN, Pretoria, Sunday evening, as a judge and an advocate, I'm used to working any day. Just say where and where. It didn't happen. It happened once, it is in that report, on the 6th of August. And I see it there. When I spoke to the minister did not know about some of the things. It means that the memos that we write to the minister either was not read or was not channeled to him. I don't know. The minister does not listen to us. The minister listens only to the secretary. Now, I want to make this point to answer a further question, that it seems that the secretariat and the office of the DPCI judge do not work together. Now, I want to say this with greatest respect. There is a big misconception. The office of the DPCI judge does not resort under the civilian secretariat. It does not. The civilian secretariat, if one looks at section 17L, only comes in 17L, 13 and 15. That is all. That is all. I don't take instructions from the civilian secretariat. I will never do that. I would rather go to court. Because if one does that, and if one reads the judgment of Sonke Justice, which involved the inspecting judge as the fourth respondent there, this is precisely what the judge has said in the Western Cape judge Penelope Botswana, the judgment, and I referred to it in my report. The judgment was given on the 5th of September this year. So I just want to make that very clear. I will not, as a judge, subject myself to the secretariat. I have to be independent structurally and operationally. And to answer a further question in the same breath, it is said, but look, you want a CEO with only 10 people. But the CEO is a requirement. This is an institution. As it stands now, I am the CEO, I am the CFO, I am the HR, I am the PA. It has taken more than 2 years. I still do not have a PA. I don't have a secretary. The committee had said, and it is in the minutes, that the portfolio committee will engage the secretary. Sorry, I apologize. The minister. We have not had the feedback to resolve this because the act itself is flawed. The act says the minister must provide sufficient personnel and resources. We go to the minister. The minister does not ask us. The minister goes to the secretary. The secretary distorts what we say. The secretary is a stumbling block to us. We ask for those things that are in the report. The secretary would write to the minister would most of the time do what the secretariat is saying. What can we do? The legal opinion has said that, look, your option now is to go to court. But we have said so, that Section 41 says, no, you must engage. You must cooperate. And this is what we have been trying to do and are still doing. I just want to make this very, 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 very clear that, and also, talking about independence, the Constitutional Court has said the Hawks must be independent, and I've quoted the sections, the relevant paragraphs of Glenista 2 and 3. Now, if the Hawks are independent, and we, who are an ombuds, are not independent, well, look, what would the perception be? This is really what I'm trying to convey, firstly to the minister and to the drafting committee. Whether we remain within the SAPS Act or outside is not really the point, because the Constitutional Court has said, no, no, in Glenister, the fact that you are within the police does not mean you cannot be independent. So it's fine. We can remain there. That is not really the point. The point is just that to look at this act and to delineate what the responsibilities of the Secretariat are and what my responsibility of a DPCI judge are. Chairperson, my colleague will deal with some of the aspects. On the question of the awareness campaigns, we would have liked to do more awareness campaigns. I have pointed out, I'm sitting with a backlog. My core duty is to do complaints, but more than 75% of my time is doing administration because of lack of capacity. From me, look, where is my investigator? This is the work that should have been done by the CEO. I'm saying now to this committee, it's fine. The minister can refuse to give us a CEO, or the secretary can write what the secretary writes, but we will have to go to court for the court to decide this aspect. It has come very far, 10 years now. The CEO must do the administration. You have seen what has happened. We ask for a CEO. We are given a director to act as a CEO. The interviews will come in due course, I suppose. That will happen. But that's not what we asked for. Who decided that? Is the secretary writing to the minister? We have never been told, Chairperson, please. We have never been told why we can't have a CEO. On the other hand, the drafting committee says, look, you can have a CEO modeled along the lines of the JICS judge. This is the judge, the inspecting judge. You can have that, but now they can't say, because the minister has the power, is entitled to say you can have a CEO. You can't have a CEO now, but you can have a CEO when in 2, 3, 4 years time, maybe the act is passed. What do we do in the meantime? You will scold us, you will excoriate us, we'll have to take that. We must accept where we are wrong, Chairperson. Let me go to another aspect. We do have a website, www.dpcijudge.gov.za. We do have that, we also on outreach programs give other details as to how we can be contacted. Chairperson, let me just deal with this question briefly, the accommodation. We have not complained that the accommodation is not suitable. What we have said to the Secretariat, to the Department of Works, to the Department of Police, because the Department of Police are paying the renter. We have said where we are satisfied. The secretariat wanted us to move to a building. We went there. We said, number one, we don't want to share offices with you, and we are not going to do that. It gives the wrong perception. Secondly, those offices are in any event no longer available. We have said we have 5 offices. We want to expand, and we gave this to the minister and said there are offices adjacent to us. Can you please cause this to be secured for us, the additional offices? That wasn't done. The offices have now been leased out. You people say we... sorry, Chairperson, not you people. Sorry, I withdraw that. Please, I'm very sorry. Chairperson, this August body has said, deal with this internally. But the correspondence is there. I will never do anything just orally. Now the offices have been taken, and we are going to get 2 additional people, and the offices have been leased out. The landlord has waited and waited and given us time, and he has leased them out. So that is really what I'm saying. I should be making decisions, but I don't. I can't make decisions when it comes to matters like this. I invited the minister, Department of Works, and others to say, come, have a look at the offices. The Department of Works have come, they have looked at it. We saw the Director General, because the Director General of Works will have to sign the lease agreement on our behalf. Now, what has happened is that because the landlord is threatening to evict us, we ran to the Department of Works, and we said, let's sign this lease agreement, even if it means those who come will share these offices with us, so that we can just have a place to work from. Chairperson, the question of the Cape Town office and the Pretoria office. The Cape Town office, this is where the Judge Musa worked from. His PA was Mr. Maselani here. That's why it's only herself here now. Because the head office is Pretoria. This is where the office is. And we are getting an investigator which has now been approved here, because you may have seen, Chairperson, we have an agreement with IP not satisfactory, that if a matter is urgent, IP could take statements for us and then send them through to us, and then our investigators will go. It's not satisfactory. The question was asked, why do you? Well, the people in KZN themselves have asked that such an office be set up. But I can also say to you, Chairperson, the investigators have traveled many times to investigate matters in KZN. Sometimes the witnesses are in KZN, and the 2 investigators, only 2 of them, have to fly all over or I have to travel there. Chairperson, I will ask my colleague to answer to some questions. I may have skipped some of them. I would apologize. Yes, on the referrals, maybe let me just say. Referrals, Chairperson, there was a referral of, just to give one example, of three at River 5. You first have to check whether you have a mandate, because it must arise from an investigation by the Hawks. And you look for it, you then go to the Hawks and say, do you investigate this? And you must still go through this. And when you do a referral, you refer it to a particular body with a report to say, this is how we see it. And we cannot just refer it with the files to these various bodies without ourselves having looked into it. It takes time. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah. I think let's give the Secretariat of Police just to say something before I come in, because we have listened to what the judge has responded to some of the questions, but is still repeating. Seems as if there's a serious problem that we need to deal with at the committee to decide. Can I allow the Honourable Redfield?
Just very briefly, it's my understanding the Deputy Director will also just, if we can conclude the feedback from the DPCI Judge's Office before we go to the Secretariat, in case there's a back and forth, just as a recommendation, because there's some unanswered questions.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm going to be brief. Still on the question of the referrals, in terms of Section 17L, Subsection 6, we are obliged that before we refer a complaint to other stakeholders, we need to inform the Minister of such referral. So in most of the cases or instances, you will find that we will have to conduct a preliminary investigation to be certain that this matter is not falling within our mandate. Because some of the information or some of the complaints that which we receive, there's no sufficient information where we can make an informed decision. So we, as investigators, we are required to conduct preliminary investigation, and then once we are sure, then that is when we refer the complaint to other stakeholders. And we are also required to inform the Minister of that referral. So it must be in the form of a report. Coming to the question of complaints where politicians are implicated, we have received one complaint that which there was an allegation of where a politician was implicated. The docket was investigated by the junior police officer, and when they were about to effect arrest and informing the superiors, this is when the superiors, they said, no, this docket it must be investigated at a national office by the task team. So the investigation of such docket is still progressing, and we are monitoring it. So on our side, we have completed the investigation and submitted a report for consideration by
by the judge. There was a question about the majority of complaints against the Hawks. After judge was appointed, we have conducted the road shows to all the provinces where we informed the members of the Hawks that this is the type of the complaints that which we receive, and the Hawks, they need to do something about that. We've visited all the provinces and informed all the members of the Hawks that they need to address this type of complaints, because most of the majority of our complaints is about service delivery and they are being prejudiced. So we have taken this to the Hawks to attend to this type of complaint. Yeah, there was a question about the budget, the balance of 1.6. That we can't use the budget that which we it has been allocated. The fact of the matter is that if you don't have personnel, if you don't have people to work, you are bound to underspend. We don't have enough personnel in the office to exhaust this budget. Hence, we had the balance of this money.
Let's get the Secretary of Police.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I think I need to just go back where the crime that I've committed. I committed a crime because the judge, when he came, he wanted to bring in his secretary from Northern Cape. And also say when the secretary comes, she must be upgraded to two levels above the level that she was in. So he said Public Administration Act and the regulations doesn't allow that you transfer a person and you promote that person. We even went to the Department of Public Service and Administration and say, this is what the judge says, is it allowed or not? They wrote to us and said, that is not allowed. And of course, being a judge in the judiciary, if you are judged, you don't comply with the judgment, it means you become contempt of court unless if you appeal to the highest court. So since that, then, anything that I would do as an accounting officer to say there is a policy that you must follow, the jobs in the public service, there's a job evaluation system, and the regulation says before you appoint anyone, subject this post to job evaluation. I cannot say when the job evaluation panel comes to me and say this position that you are looking at is at director level, I change it and make it a chief director level. And you see, the last time we had the AGSA who presented here to say, in future, accounting officers will be held accountable and money will have to be recovered from them if they make decisions that are irregular. I am applying the law. I'm applying the PFMA. That's why I got a clean audit. And when you get a clean audit, it means that there are people who are not going to like some of the things that you are doing. Because people always want to have shortcuts. So that the crime that I've committed is that one. Of saying I'm not promoting your secretary. And since then, everything I send, it gets scrutinized. It looks like a judge is really creating a case against me so that one day, because most of the things in this report, you can see that it's an indictment on me. My integrity is being questioned throughout this report, that I'm not a person of integrity. They say, referral to a meeting that happened on the 6th of August with the minister, which I was not there. And the judge says, it's written all over that discussion with the minister. The secretary is written all over. I was not even aware of that meeting. Minister didn't even ask me that he's going to have a meeting with the judge. The discussion happened there. Just because the minister said things or the officials were there said things that confirms some of the things that I have said to him, it means that it's me who has advised the minister. It's really interesting to listen to the judge when he says this logo. He also was skeptical about it. He was not. Recently, the position that minister approved for us to assist him in his office, we spent a lot of time arguing which logo must go there. I even suggested that, okay, let's put the coat of arms in the same line with your logo. He's refused, flatly refused, and he said no. So if he says he was skeptical about this thing, then why would he have issues when it comes to putting the coat of arms and the DPCI judge logo for the advert? I considered and said, I'm not breaking any law. We can go and advertise using the DPCI judge. But what I refused, the judge wanted to have his officials to handle the applications, to also be responsible for interviewing, and said he doesn't want the HR unit of the civilian secretariat to be involved in that process. Human resource management is a profession. You get trained. You have to liaise with the Department of Public Service and Administration. I was responsible for integrated HR in the Department of Public Service and Administration as a Deputy Director General there for many years. I was responsible for negotiations in terms of the whole of the public service. So I know how in human resources work in the public service. So he wanted that, and I said, that won't happen. So we agreed that yes, he will be involved in the interviews because it's his staff. But HR will be there, and there will be a panel that consists of people from different areas. So the whole issue here is I'm being undermined. Who are you? You are the accounting officer. I was the judge president. As I said it to me many times, I was the judge president of the Northern Cape. Who are you to tell me what not to do? And I never tell him what not to do in terms of his job. I say I've got policies. There are legislations. There are regulations that need to be followed. There's another matter that is going to come. The issue that he's saying is taking us to court. He went ahead and appointed a senior counsel and a junior counsel to advise him. I wouldn't have even asked what advice you are looking for. As long as he comes and processes these things using our policies, you just come and you say, I need advice on this issue, or I need advice, legal advice, just like that. And you make sure that our procurement process is followed. In our policy, these things have to come through our legal unit when you do the appointment of a senior counsel. And it's only when you go outside, you, if the chief state or law advisor cannot provide you with that advice, then you go outside. I was not going to look into that, but I'm getting a bill. Pay these lawyers. And I say to finance, okay, normal process has been followed, I'm going to pay. But I find that it's not. So I am applying the public service prescripts and the rules, and that is seen as interference and undermining the office. And that's the main issue that we have in here. You know, I feel like the judge treats me like a criminal. He treats me like a criminal, that anything that I raise, he questions it, that I'm questioning his authority, I'm interfering in his authority. I don't ask. If he says he's traveling somewhere, I just sign. Because if I don't sign, it means that, yes, that's when you are interfering with his job. It's none of my business. What is he going to do? But if processes, why wouldn't he mind to send me an OTHRIP authorization? And he has issues when he's appointing a senior counsel, that he will go without following the process. It's undermining the accounting officer. So that's what I feel, honorable members and chair, that's at the crux of this thing. If we can manage this relationship, we even developed a memorandum of agreement, a draft memorandum of agreement, which we sent to the judge to say, can we have this agreement to say this is how we are going to work to manage our relationship. We sent that a document to the judge. To date, we are still waiting to come so that we address all these issues that are being raised. So it's unfortunate that we come and we are really putting our dirty linen in front of the portfolio committee. These are not issues that belongs here. These are issues that belongs to us. If the judge could just say, I want to comply with this prescripts, just help me to make sure that I comply. And if he wants, the issue about accommodation, Edward actually sits in the steering committee that it's looking in terms of the accommodation. We are expected, in terms of the PFMA, to manage the resources of the state economically and efficiently. And when it comes to economical, it means that if I'm looking for a building and there's one budget, I don't have enough. Why would I have three offices if I can put people in one? We are not the South African Police Service. We are not DPCI. My position, it says if you were a member of the service before, you cannot be appointed in this position. What is the reason for that? Because this role should not be conflicted in terms of being a member of the service. So why would I be prejudicial to the judge, who is actually performing a role that complements what we do? With the issue about the structure also, Edward sat in the, we had a committee which was looking into the organizational structure of the department. He was part of that. He made contributions, and the proposal that we sent to the minister was based on that, the inputs that came from him. The DPCI judge is not a public entity, neither it is a department nor a government component. It's not. You cannot have a chief executive. A chief executive is for a public entity. And the public entities are listed in the Public Finance Management Act, in the schedules. And government components are listed in the Public Service Act, in the schedules. It's not there. And I didn't make the law. I didn't make the law. And I cannot be expected to actually break the law. The law says I'm going to provide the administrative support, and I can't have different rules for the judge, even for the minister. I don't do that. The minister, at least they've got executive authorities and some powers, but when it comes to accounting officers' responsibility in terms of PFMA, the minister cannot tell me to go and do anything which is contravening the PFMA. The judge cannot tell me to go to do anything which contravenes the PFMA and the Public Service Act. Because if he becomes the judge in my case when I'm tried for appointing a secretary at the level higher than it was supposed to be, because monthly we will be paying this person overtime, I will still be paying, and this legislation is coming to be. The Auditor General will come to me and say, you paid this much, what did you do about it? And if I say I didn't discipline anyone, then this money must come from your salary, including they're going to take from my pension the additional money that I paid irregularly. And if he's sitting in that court, I'm sure he's going to fry me. He's going to cut my throat. But why does he want me to do illegal things? I raise my case.
Okay. You know, I wanted to say to honorable members here that it seems as if it looks like there's a dialogue. And it is clear that there's no working relationship between the Secretary of Police and the DPC judge. But also the disadvantage is that the minister and the deputy minister are not here. So we're going to round in circle here and not finalize this matter. So, but also what I would propose is that, you see, we convened the judge to come and present to the committee here. And the judge can't say to us, without even listening to us, say he'd rather go to court. You know, that means this committee does not know its work. We have not even commented and saying anything, but the conclusion is to say, I'd rather go to court. With whose mandate do you go to court? We listen to his frustrations, and the civilian secretariat has responded. And the unfortunate part is that the minister is not here to defend or to answer. So whatever questions we're going to ask here, always they will refer to the minister. So it's better that they go back and meet with the minister and the civil secretariat, and they come back to the committee. Then we'll be able to apply our minds correctly. For now, it's like we are the United Nations. You know, we must mediate in between Syria and Turkey. So ours is to be an oversight, and without fear of any favor, you know. So, and we must listen. There are allegations here that are very serious in the report, that some Hawks members have complained of victimization. There are complaints about politicians cases, dockets that have not been processed. But who do we ask? Because they report to the minister. We'll have to get the minister here and be able to respond to that. I'll just give honorable members just the last, because I also have to attend the WIPARI meeting. But let me give honorable Whitfield and honorable Tara Blanche and the judge, I'll give you again, and then honorable Mofokeng, and then we close this matter.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Just at the outset, the issue of the date of the letter signed by the Minister referring the annual report to Parliament. If I don't know if the Committee Secretary or somebody can just help us to understand why it's taken so long for the report to come to the Committee. I asked that question. And then, Chairperson, I would request that you don't provide the judge with an opportunity to respond, and I know that might be difficult, and the reason I say that is because then you may find yourself in a position where you feel you need to offer the Secretary or another member of their team an opportunity to reply. But allow me just to say, Chairperson, that the unprofessional construction of the report played out here today. And what I have seen is one of the most unprofessional displays, and I'm not pointing fingers at any one person and I'm not picking sides, of conduct in a meeting where we're supposed to be discussing the annual report. Mm-hmm. Some of the questions aren't even satisfactorily answered. Chairperson, I really sincerely believe that what we've seen here today is a reflection on the poor leadership of the executive. That two senior civil servants can sit and behave in this manner before Parliament and use this platform to settle their grievances and to air their allegations is unacceptable. I would support that the Minister come with the Deputy Minister to demonstrate his seriousness of the responsibilities and the independence of the watchdog, because the key issue here is perhaps a misinterpretation of independence. The other issue, Chairperson, is, and I take exception, I know it's been mentioned repeatedly, but the Minister has barely attended any of these committee meetings since Parliament convened. That is also a reflection on poor leadership that leads to situations that we have witnessed here today. I do believe that it is also a reflection of the seriousness of the executive, of the watchdog bodies. I've raised repeatedly my concerns with IPED, the minister's reluctance or delays or laissez-faire approach to the appointment of a permanent head. And now today we have a very important watchdog body whose frustrations we must not ignore. We have a duty to do oversight and to get to the bottom of this. But ultimately, Chairperson, the Minister must take responsibility for a breakdown in the relationship between the Secretary and the Judge. And because of the Minister's absence, the committee is left to clean up his mess. And I take great exception to that. I don't believe that this committee can do its work properly if we simply allow the minister to abscond from his duties in Parliament to account to this committee. It's not enough for the minister to send officials from his department but not provide the leadership to stand by them and provide clarity and answer the difficult questions. Thank you very much for your indulgence, Chairperson.
Chairperson, thank you. I am largely covered by my colleague. I just want to also echo the sentiments raised that we need to refer this issue to the minister. He must take responsibility, and my recommendation would be that he meets with, you know, the different people and, you know, his institutions
They need to solve this problem, Chairperson. And then obviously, you know, my recommendation would be once they have done that, they must come back here and do a follow-up presentation, and we want to learn that day, hear that day, how it is resolved and how they are going to take it forward. Chairperson, never again can we allow something like this to happen in this committee. I'm really sorry. This is totally unacceptable, and I really, you know, it is shameful what happened here today. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable Mfokeng.
Thanks, Chair, and I'm glad that I had to be out and we are still on the same proposal that I made. And I'm glad that Honourable Whitfield and Honourable Delblanche are coming to what actually I was saying. I read, and I'm glad that we can come to an understanding that let us make sure that the minister responsible will be the one who leads us into this process of meeting the two parties first. But we also have a responsibility as Parliament that we should know what is happening, because for us this report is still not what we want. And I want to check with you, Chairperson, my request of saying, can they bring... Okay, are you done? Okay, I just want to check with you, Chairperson, that my request of saying we need to see the last report. Because for me, and I want to say it, maybe Honourable Wildfield didn't want to say it, for me it is a cut and paste. Information that I saw it, and I'm seeing it again. So I want to be sure, because the same complaints and all things that are developing now have been growing in this department. But we cannot be saying much about people that are not here. Let the minister who is in charge be at the centre of the whole thing. And it's unfortunate that, Chair, we had to allow ourselves to be in this. But I want to thank you for listening to this. But we don't need leadership that behaves like this. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable members. I think we all agree that we need to reconvene again, but with the minister and the deputy minister present. But in the meeting that will be reconvened, we don't want to hear what we have been listening to today. It must be a department that is coming to present their annual report, not complain against the other one against the other one. But the minister also as the accounting official, he must be present here in that in that meeting. So I'm advised that, you know, the date of referral to the committee on the judge's report was on the 7th of October 2019. So it is here recorded. So I think honorable members and also judge and your team, the secretariat, civil and secretariat, that it can be correct when you come to the committee. We expect to receive the annual report and then we'll engage from that. But what has happened is the other one is complaints, the complaints report that we have listened to. Genuine, but the minister is not here to respond whether he refused to meet with the judge 10 times, you know. So it can be correct also that when you establish a structure and it requests a meeting, it comes to you. You don't meet with it. So I'm saying it's unfortunate that the minister and the deputy minister are not here to respond. But with that note, that it is clear that the report that you have presented here, it has opened many holes for the report, and the committee can't really engage objectively on the report. We're listening to both the secretariat responding and the judge also giving his complaints, and also to show her his frustrations that is even threatening to go to court before exhausting all avenues. I think we are here as a committee also to assist. That is why we do our oversight. With those words, I think then a judge and the secretariat, civilian secretariat, and the minister, the office of the minister is here to, we'll write to the minister that in the next meeting that we need them here, but we don't want to hear what we have heard today. We want to get a report that we can engage with it, not the allegations against each other. We have said when we started as this committee that we will support the police with whatever they need, including the DPC, DPCI judge, the IPIT. We're still waiting for the IPIT. I think it's coming very soon. The report on the IPIT. And we will still get also the civilian secretariat report here also. And the judge. Sorry. Or the DNA. Yeah, the DNA part. Yeah. It's also coming. So we will see how fast, how do we adjust also our program. Because we can't leave this thing hanging forever. It needs to be addressed once and for all and resolved so that we move forward as a committee. I was saying as a committee, we have said we want to support the South African police, IPIT, the Hawks, civilian secretariat, the DPCI judge, and all structures that falls under that, under the minister, that we want to work together. Because crime, it's not about political parties. I'm just saying that this is what we decided as this portfolio committee, that we want to do these things done in a correct manner. We are not going to politicize the issue of crime. But we are not going to be afraid to do our oversight role as a portfolio committee. So thank you for presentation. But I must say we are not happy as a committee with today's presentation, that we must come back. The office will advise us when we will reconvene. So with those words, honorable members, thank you very much, civilian secretariat and the judge and your team. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.